Well, turning your Bibles to John chapter 6. John 6, we continue our study of the Gospel of John. Of course, John shows Jesus Christ as the Messiah. You remember the book says there are many other signs that Jesus did that are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ and by the Son of God, and by believing you would have eternal life. That's what we're seeing. Now, we're seeing in this ministry, Jesus is in the northern part of Israel. He's around the Sea of Galilee. He's had his headquarters at Capernaum. The crowds are coming to him. But at this time, they're coming not because they believe in that he's the Messiah, but they're coming to be fed. Jesus wants to give them bread, but not just the temporary bread that he fed them, but he wants them to give them the bread of life, which is himself. As we see this passage, Jesus teaches the crowds that he indeed is the bread of life, the one who gives eternal life, and all who come to him receive eternal life. Now this morning, as we continue in this, it's a long teaching time, really, starting about verse 22 to the end of the chapter is this one section. Beginning at verse 26 to the end of the chapter is actually Jesus doing the teaching. And so there's several things all the way through there. But as these Jews have come to him, I want you to think of several questions as we look through the passage. How do these religious Jews view Jesus? What do they think about him? I mean, he said things like, I'm the bread of life, and I've come down from heaven, and whoever believes in me has eternal life, and those kind of things. So what do they think? How is he the bread of life? And then the third question is, what must one do to have life? And so there's so much as we look through this passage this morning and continue, of course, in the Gospel of John, we see some great things. Well, let me just start with this. You know, food, when you think of food, well, we love food. You know, we'll say, man, I want to go to lunch or I want something to eat. We love food. In fact, sometimes we love food too much, but food is for life. And when you think about food, almost in every culture, food is one of the keys. In fact, the staple of life is bread. In every culture, to break bread is to have a fellowship aspect. You see in the Bible that all the way through, one of the first things that happens, especially when groups come together in any way, is they have a meal. Think about this. When Abraham came back from his victory over his enemies, he was met by Melchizedek, the king priest of Salem. And what did Abraham give him? They had bread and wine. And then when Abraham was also out and the angels came to him. Now there were three angels. One of them was God and the other two were angels. And they came to Abraham. What did he do? He gave them bread and a lamb. Bread shows provision. In the wilderness, when the nation of Israel was wandering around for 40 years, what did God give them? He gave them bread from heaven, which is manna. In the tabernacle, which is the same as the temple, those buildings, there was a table of showbread, which had 12 loaves of bread, each representing the 12 tribes of Israel. But it was showing that God is the provider. What we call the Last Supper, which was the Passover meal right before Jesus went to the cross. What did Jesus do with his disciples? There was bread and wine. In the early church, it says they went from house to house breaking bread. Bread is a picture of God's provision for mankind, not only physically but spiritually. It's an idea that we say when we think of bread. Now, as we see bread in this passage and we think about it, we say, well, Jesus fed these people and they ate bread. They had a whole bunch of bread left over. What are they thinking? But as we see in this passage, Jesus calls himself the bread of life. And he is the provision from God to man. The provision which gives life, eternal life. And we'll see it, and not only eternal life, but physical and spiritual life. And as we continue in the study of the Gospel of John, we are seeing Jesus as the bread of life. Now, this is the first, we put it already, this is the first of the seven I am statements. He says, I am the bread of life. If you remember, we have two things out for you to pick up. We have the living water, which is actually the Gospel of John, in a little booklet of Gospel of John, and then basically a presentation of the Gospel in the back. So you can give this to people. They can read the Gospel of John. They can see who Jesus is. They read in the back. They can put their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. This, of course, is a handout that has the outline on one side, the seven signs in the book of John, and the seven I am's in the book of John. We are looking at the very first one. He says, I am the bread of life. And so that's what we're seeing as we go through this. Now, look at this. Just listen. John 6:35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. In 6:48, he says, I am the bread of life. In 6:51, he says, I am the living bread that has come down out of heaven. He is telling them that he is the bread that gives life. Well, how is the crowd going to respond to Jesus teaching that he is the bread of life? Well, let's see what happens. The crowds have been coming to Jesus to be fed. On the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is on the east side, there were a crowd, 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. Jesus fed them. He basically walked across the Sea of Galilee, got into the boat about halfway across, and went to the other side. The people are looking for Jesus to be fed. They finally go to the other side to Capernaum, and they find Jesus. And the very first thing they do when they see him is, when did you get here? And what they're really saying is, listen, we've been looking all over for you. We want food. And Jesus wants them to realize that they need more than the temporary bread that he fed them. Because, see, they got fed that day. They need food again the next day. He wants to give them the bread that results in eternal life. They need the living bread, the bread of life. Notice in chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus says this, for the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. He says, I'm the bread that comes out of heaven. It gives life. Look what they say. Then they said to him, Lord, always give us this bread. They're not quite understanding. They're saying, well, wait a minute. We're not sure what you're talking about, but we want bread. And so Jesus then explains in verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will in no way ever hunger, and he who believes in me will in no way ever thirst. He's saying, look, I'm the one that gives life. I'm the one that gives eternal life. I'm the bread that gives life. When you trust in me, he's saying, you get eternal life. Look at verse 40. This is where we ended last week. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible because it's so clear. Notice what it says, verse 40. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. And I myself will raise him up on the last day. Jesus just says it very plainly. And it says, whoever beholds, whoever sees and believes has eternal life, and I will raise them up. He's saying that all people have to do is look to Jesus Christ, to believe in him, to understand that he's the bread of life, that he is the one that gives eternal life, and whoever believes in him has everlasting life. He says, I give eternal life, and I myself will raise you up. Not only is there a spiritual eternal life, but there is a physical life that he will raise the body from the dead. We must understand the simple truth that all who trust in Jesus Christ have eternal life. Life. It is that simple. And that's the thing. And I hope and pray that every one of you in this room, and I know most of you, but I hope every one of you should understand that the message of salvation from the scripture is that Jesus is the Son of God who died on the cross and paid for sin. He rose again, and whoever believes in him, whoever trusts in him, has eternal life. That's what he says. Whoever beholds the Son, believes in him, will have eternal life. And the Son says, and I will raise him up on the last day. Well, how do they respond to all this? How do they respond to Jesus saying, he's the bread of life, and because they're really wanting real bread, and he's saying, no, I'm the bread of life. How do they respond to that? Well, let me show you the outline of what we're going to see. First of all, they're grumbling. They're grumbling about some things. That's verses 41 to 43. Then there's the conviction out there of the Father drawing and the Word of God, and then he gets back to the issue again of the bread of life. He talks about faith and life and the true bread from heaven, and we'll see how all that ties together as we go through the outline. Look what happened in verse 41. He's just got through telling them, I'm the bread of life, and whoever comes to me will never hunger or thirst. I came down from heaven, and I came to do the will of the Father. The will of the Father is whoever believes has life. It's very powerful. Look what he says, verse 41. Therefore, the Jews were grumbling about him because he said, I am the bread that came down out of heaven. Now, the Jews begin to grumble because they said, he says he's the bread that came down out of heaven. He's claiming to have come out of heaven. Back in verse 33, he said, the bread which comes down from heaven. In verse 38, he says, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will. So they're beginning to grumble among themselves. The word grumble means to murmur. It means to talk. And they're going, who does he think he is anyway? You know what he's saying? He's saying he's God. He's saying he's come down from heaven. We know who he is. And so they begin to say, who could this guy be? Who does he think he is anyway? They're pretty upset. So look, it says this. They were saying in verse 42, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down out of heaven? They say, we know who he is. This guy's Jesus. He grew up in Nazareth. Nazareth's not far from Cana. Cana's not very far from Capernaum. I mean, we know who this guy is. We actually know his mother and father. How can he now start saying he came down out of heaven? I mean, there are people around here who know when he was born. What does he mean, I came down out of heaven? So they say, how can he say this? I came down out of heaven. I want you to understand they've missed it. Because they missed the truth that Jesus Christ did come from heaven. Jesus Christ is the God-man. I want you to understand this. He is the Son of God who came from heaven and became a person. I want you to understand that from all eternity, Jesus Christ existed. has always existed. He's God. At a point in time in history, Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven and came to this earth. Galatians 4:4 says, in the fullness of time, God brought forth his son born of a woman. Jesus Christ left heaven to come to this earth to become a human being. Now, he's a God-man. He is the God-man. He is 100% God and 100% human. We call this the incarnation. In John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It goes down to verse 14 and says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. At a point in time in history, Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven to become a person. Jesus is saying that, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the Father. The will of the Father is all who see me and believe in me will have eternal life. He is saying he's from God. They're actually missing it. They're saying, he can't be saying that. He's saying that. The truth is, so many people today miss who Jesus really is. They see him maybe as a good man. They see him as a prophet. They see him maybe as a teacher. But what he is the living God. One of the great truths of God's word is that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. When Jesus walked on the earth and the guys are with him and they're eating with him, they're walking on the road, they're getting on the boat with him, they are hanging around with God, God in the flesh. It's amazing. Now, here's a question to think about. Why would Jesus Christ become a person? He became a person so he could die for us. See, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. We owe God death. The payment for sin is death and separation. The sacrifice of an animal can't pay for man's sin. Throughout history, you look in the Bible, and those people were offering animal sacrifices. Those animal sacrifices covered their sin, did not pay for their sin. Hebrews 10:4 says the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. So Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven to come and die for us as the perfect man. See, the blood of a perfect man can pay for man's sin. He became a person so he could die in our place. He is our substitute. 1 John 2:2, he's the satisfactory payment, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. Jesus Christ died for all people. And 1 Peter 3:18 says, Christ died for our sins once for all, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. We have to understand that, why did Jesus Christ come? Why did he leave the glories of heaven? Why is the bread of life that comes down out of heaven? He came to die for us, pay for our sins, so he can give us eternal life by faith. He is the perfect man to pay for mankind's sin. Never forget why Jesus Christ became a person. He came to die for you, and he came to die for me. Now, they're grumbling, and they don't understand it, and they're saying, he said he's the bread of heaven. How can he say that? How can he say that he's come down out of heaven? Notice what Jesus says to them. Verse 43, Jesus answered and said to them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. First of all, he says, don't grumble. You don't have to grumble about this. Let me explain something to you. And he goes on to say, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. This is something we've seen all the way through the passage, three different times already. He is talking about the dual aspect of the Father drawing and people believing. In salvation, there's a dual aspect. It is God the Father drawing us to himself and each person believing. Now, the truth is this, that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's not one that seeks after God. If we are left to ourselves, we will never come to God. God, in his grace and mercy, draws us to himself. And when he draws us to himself, we must believe. Now, not everybody that's drawn to himself believes. That's the dual aspect. There's the God aspect of him drawing us to himself. There's the aspect that we must believe. And that's a great truth. Look in the passages, and I'll just throw this up for you. It says, the Father gives, man comes. All that he gives, not lose. The Father draws, man comes. No one comes unless granted by the Father. The bottom line is, God is drawing mankind to himself. And we're going to see a little bit more details on it in just a second, but that's what's happened. Salvation is two side, God's side, man's side. God's side is God is drawing, man's side, man must believe. Now, just because God is drawing man does not mean that that person is going to be saved. In fact, we're going to see in a minute, God draws the world to himself, but whoever believes has eternal life. There's a truth here that fallen man will not come to God unless God draws him. How does God draw people to himself? Two things stand out. We're going to see a little bit. One is the Holy Spirit who convicts. The other is the Word of God. In this passage, he's talking about the Word. There's a truth that the Holy Spirit, let me just talk about it. Go to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts the world. John chapter 16, we'll see it just in about 10 chapters away. In John 16, he says, the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sin because they have not believed, righteousness because I go to be with the Father, and judgment because the prince of the world has been judged. The truth is, the Holy Spirit convicts the world that they have not believed in Jesus. It says the world. That's every person. The Holy Spirit is convicting the world that they have not believed in Jesus Christ. That's the Holy Spirit's job. He is drawing people to himself in that way. Each person must respond. When you came to know Christ as Savior, whatever circumstances it was, however God used somebody to lead you to Christ or read the Bible or something, the Holy Spirit was convicting you, bringing you to himself, and yet you had to believe. You had to trust. They go together. So the Holy Spirit is one of the aspects that God uses as he convicts. The second one is the Word of God. This is the one that he talks about in this passage. God draws us through the Word of God. As we look in the Scripture, we see the truth. Romans says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And this is what he's going to say in this passage. Notice at verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. I'll raise him up on the last day. He says, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Notice what he says. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Now, he's saying that you must learn the truth and you see the truth. And he says the Word of God is the way to do it. Isaiah 54 and Jeremiah 31 talk about these. That's one of the quotes that he's quoting from the Old Testament. He says, those who have heard and learned, they understand the truth and they come to me. God uses his Word to bring people to Christ. The Holy Spirit's convicting them. The Word of God is the truth that we give them. When we go share our faith, we say things like, well, the Bible says that God so loved the world. And we give them Scripture. We tell them truths. We tell them that we've all sinned. We tell them that Jesus died on the cross and paid for sin. We tell them that whoever believes has eternal life from God's Word. It is so important that we go in the power of the Holy Spirit using the Word of God. Listen to this. In John chapter 5, verse 46, he said, if you'd have believed Moses, you'd believe me, for he wrote about me. If you do not believe the writings, how will you believe my words? He's basically saying you must look to the Scripture. He was telling the Jews that. You reject God and his Word, or you reject Jesus. You believe God and his Word, you'll believe in Jesus. The Bible draws us. The Holy Spirit draws us. The Bible is alive and sharp, powerful and sharpening two-edged sword. It never comes back void, but accomplishes the plan that God has for it. The Bible is the truth and profitable. You found throughout the Scripture, it is the thing that gives us the truth. We must be faithful to proclaim clearly in the power of the Holy Spirit the truths of Jesus Christ, the truths from the Word of God. In fact, this is a key. The Holy Spirit convicts using the truths of the Word of God. In this passage, he's emphasizing Scripture. We're going to find in John 16, he emphasizes the Spirit. So it's a very powerful truth. Now, notice what he said. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Now, he's talking about the fact that as you look into the Word, you see the truths and you learn it. Then he goes on and makes this statement. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who's from God, he has seen the Father. He's given that idea, and the truth is that God the Father is a spirit being. Now, I don't know whether you can comprehend this, but think through this. There's one God in three persons. One God, and then there's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The Father is a spirit being. John 4:24, God is a spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. He's a spirit being. The Holy Spirit is a spirit being. Jesus Christ was a spirit being until a point in time in history when he left the glories of heaven and became a person. So you can't see the Father and the Spirit. They're spirit beings. We see Jesus Christ. That's why he says, and he says it this way, he says, no one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He says, I'm God. I've seen God the Father. That's what he's saying. He's saying, when you see me, you see the Father. When you see me, you see God, because I am God. That's what Jesus is trying to tell them, and it's a very powerful truth. He said, I have seen the Father. I am from the Father. I am God. And that's why later on in John 10, he says, I and the Father are one. Later on in John 14, he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So he says this, listen, they're grumbling, and he says, listen, you know, I'm the bread that came down out of heaven. And they go, how can he be the bread that come down from heaven? How can he say he came down from heaven? And he says, don't grumble among yourselves. Listen, it's God drawing, and you've got to believe. He said, and the word of God is the key that tells the information, because no one has seen God. I'm the one who is revealing God. And then he says, really, verses 47 and 48 go together. They are powerful verses. If you only had these verses, you'd be in great shape. Look what 47 says. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. That's the key. If you only had that little verse, that's all it is. I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. It is short, it is simple, it is to the point. By faith in Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. Do not add to this. When you go out and tell people, you say, whoever believes has eternal life, believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. Whoever trusts in Jesus has eternal life. It is that simple. You can't add to it. Look, it's in my Bible, it's just a little bitty section there. You don't want to add anything to it, because it says, truly, truly, listen carefully, I'm saying to you, he who believes simply by faith has eternal life. It's the same thing he said back in verse 40, for this is the will of my Father, everyone who beholds and believes has eternal life. Over and over in the Scripture, it is the same message, that whoever believes in Jesus Christ has eternal life. He says, you see the signs and you believe. Think about this. John 3:16, God so loved the world he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes. John 3:18, whoever believes is not condemned. John 3:36, whoever believes has life. John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, here's my word, and believes him who sent me has eternal life. It's over and over. It's always by faith. It is not by works. It is not by our goodness. It's not by our righteousness. It's not by our faithfulness. It's not by what we do. It's not by what we do in a church. It's not by being baptized. It's not by any of those kind of things. It is faith alone in Christ alone for eternal life. It is that simple. Do not add to it. Do not change it. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved. How? Through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now, our world thinks totally different. Our world thinks it's our goodness or our church, or it's where we're willing to give up something, or to move away from something, or get baptized, or join a church, or start living right, or do these things. Our world thinks it's something that we do. We are not the Savior. Jesus Christ is the Savior. When they say things like, well, but you must be willing to do this, they do not understand their sinfulness and God's holiness. We can only come to God by Jesus Christ through faith. That's it. Simple truth, salvation is by faith. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. Then verse 48, look what he says. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. There it is. He is the one who gives life. He is the true bread from heaven. He is the way that gives life. Listen, all throughout John, there are some key words. One is believe. He talks about faith, and it's 98 times in the Gospel of John. Another word that's found throughout the Gospel of John, 47 times, is the word life. You believe in Christ, and you get life. You get eternal life. Look at this. In him, John 1:4, was life. John 3:16, whoever believes has eternal life. John 4:14, there is the well of eternal life. Look at the next one. John 5:21, just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom he wishes. John 6:33, I come down and I give life. Over and over and over in the Scripture, all it says is that when you believe in Jesus, he gives you life. And of course, most of the time it says eternal life. Eternal life is in the person of Jesus Christ. John 5:11-13, he who has the Son has life, who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things are written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Life is in the Son, Jesus Christ. It's a powerful truth. He says, I am the bread of life. And now he's going to give a contrast. Notice what he says in verse 49. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. Listen, that was temporary bread. The manna was temporary and they died. This is the bread. Well, look at the contrast. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. See, the bread that they've been eating, the bread that he fed them on the side of the hill, the bread that they ate in the wilderness as a nation, he says, they eat that bread and you eat that bread and you die. But the bread that I give you, that comes down out of heaven, that when you eat it, you will not die. See, the old bread, physical, they ate, they died. Jesus Christ is the new bread in a sense. It's the bread from heaven. It's spiritual. And you have spiritual life and you never, never die. We end this little section with verse 51. And look what he says. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Now, I want you to look at that verse and I want you to look at it carefully. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. That's Jesus who left the glories of heaven, became a human being. If, and in the Greek, it's what we call a third class if, which means maybe, maybe not. If anyone eats of the bread, if, maybe you will, maybe you won't. If you eat of the bread, that means to believe in him. If you eat of this bread, he will live forever. Is that incredible? You realize every one of us in the room, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, the moment you believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, you have right then eternal life and you will live forever, beginning the moment you trusted Christ. He says, I am the living bread. I'm the bread of life, is what he's saying. I've come down out of heaven. And if you will eat this bread, if you will believe in me, you will live forever. Because see that bread you eat over there? You eat it and you go, I'm kind of hungry. I need some more bread. And if you don't get enough of it, you're going to die. But I'm the bread that came down out of heaven that when you eat of this bread, you'll live forever. Jesus Christ is the Savior. Every one of us in this room, the way we're going to live forever and the way we are living forever is because we have believed in Jesus Christ. We have taken the bread of life. Now notice the very end of the verse. He says three things. He says, and the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. There's three things. The bread which I will give. He's talking about a future here where he's going to go and die on the cross and pay for sin. He's going to give his life for us. He says, the bread which I give for the life of the world. This is the way the world can have life. Through Jesus Christ. He is the substitute. He is the one that's going to die for the world. Look what he says. Is my flesh. It's his body. He said, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to die. And he didn't tell him that exactly, but that's what he's talking about. He's saying that I will, the bread that I give me for the life of the world, that's how they can have life, is my flesh. He's going to the cross. When Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid for sin and rose again, two things happened there. One, when he died on the cross, he paid for the sin of the world. When he rose again, he conquered death. The two things go together. There's the conquering of physical death. Jesus Christ died and rose again. And then there is the giving of spiritual life. We call it eternal life, which goes on forever. You understand that in this passage, two or three different times, he keeps saying, I will raise them up, and I will raise them up, and I will give them life. It's because Jesus Christ not only gives you eternal life in a sense, in a spiritual aspect, he gives you eternal life in a physical aspect. He will raise these bodies from the dead and you will live forever in a physical body. He has conquered death and given life. Jesus says, I am the bread of life that gives eternal life to all who believe. What have we seen? Jesus teaches the crowd. They come to him. They're all upset. They want more bread. But he says, no, I'm the bread that came down out of heaven. I'm the bread that you really need. And they say, what are you talking about? And he says, you know, I'm the one that gives the bread of life by faith. Whoever believes in me has life and life forever. Let me give you some applications. Look at this. Come to Jesus Christ for eternal life. I hope and pray that everyone in this room, and I know most of you, but I hope and pray that everyone in this room, that you have put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have come to Christ for eternal life. You realize that he is the bread of life, that he is the life giver, that he's the way, the truth, and the life, that he's the resurrection and the life, and that when you believe in him, he gives you eternal life. He is the one who came and died for us and paid for our sin. He is the satisfactory payment. He is our substitute. Every human being needs a Savior. I hope and pray that every one of you have put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. When we go out these doors, we have the privilege and responsibility to tell people this message. It is not works. It is not goodness. It's not going to church. It's not being good. It's not being faithful. It's none of that. Jesus is the Savior, not us. Come to Christ for eternal life. Second, proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ in God's Word. In other words, when we go out, the Holy Spirit's convicting the world. We use the Word of God. We tell them the truth. We show them the truth. We take them to the Bible and say, look what it says, John 3:16. We give them this book right here. This is why this is so important. This is the Bible. It's just part of the Bible, but it's the Bible. It's the Gospel of John. It's not just a little booklet. It's the Gospel of John, which is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, which God is going to use in conjunction with the Holy Spirit convicting the world that they can see truth from the Scripture and they can believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. So you have the privilege of giving out Scripture to people so they can see the truth. Take as many of these as you can. We've got thousands. We're just going to keep piling up in there. You keep giving them out. As I say every week, don't say, I got one of these. You're not supposed to have one. You get one and you give it away. You come back and you say, I need another one. I need a bunch of them. That's what we're supposed to do. Give these things out to people so they can know the truth. It is amazing. Last but not least, understand why Jesus Christ came to the earth. He came to be our substitute. He left the glories of heaven to come take our place. He became the perfect God-man so he could die on the cross, pay for our sins, and give eternal life to us who believe. May we clearly proclaim God's word, telling the good news of salvation by faith alone in Christ alone. He is the bread of life who became a person so he could die for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these great truths. Thank you for the things that are in this passage and in the Gospel of John. We see them over and over again. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus is the life giver, that we come to Jesus for eternal life. He is the one who died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again. And when we believe in him, he gives to us eternal life. Thank you that Jesus is the Savior and that we're not saviors. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that Jesus has done it all. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. Thank you, Lord, that when we believe in Jesus, we get eternal life. Lord, would you use us as we go out these doors, as the Holy Spirit is convicting the world, we go with the Word of God, we tell them the truth about Jesus so that they too can believe in Christ. Thank you for sending your Son into the world to be our substitute so he could die in our place so that we can have eternal life as a gift by faith. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.